Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa, man. Yeah.
Welcome and hello. This is Joseph G. with Rum Radio and rumradio.org, the most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe. We would like to acknowledge WNAA, Roy Carter, and Tony the Horse, who affords us the opportunity to broadcast live to their listening audience in Nashville, parts of Kentucky, and Arkansas as a public service presentation. We would also like to acknowledge RecoveryToday.net magazine, a finer recovery journal that affords us from time to time some print space. I gratefully like to introduce my co-host, Harold B., a family intervention specialist. He does a fine work with troubled families, and I personally believe the families are the basic unit of our society, and as the family goes, so does the nation. Harold?
Hello, everybody. It's nice to be with you. Hello, Joseph. Thank you for producing this program and an opportunity to talk about working with others, talk about recovery and what really makes it happen. And I owe my life to the program, and I really consider it an honor to be on the air, be able to give back. And I want everyone to know that this is not a money-making proposition. This is public service, WNAH, and all the work that Joseph does on his website, rumradio.org. There's a lot of good information there about recovery and how to stay clean and sober. And as we read in the book, nothing works as well as intensive work with another alcoholic. That's what his website is all about. Joseph, not only doesn't he make money from the website, he has sunk thousands into the creation and the maintenance and the improvement of the website. And so in a moment he'll tell you how many countries we reach and how this is going. But I'm really impressed and I'm humbled, and I consider it an honor to be here and to share what I can about working with others. That has really been the key for my recovery. I thank you all for my recovery, and so I hope you get some value from what we share tonight, and I hope you'll let us know how you benefited from what we've done. In a moment, Joseph will share the phone number, and we invite you to call in. You can listen as much as you'd like, and if you'd like to make a comment, please do press 1 on your phone after you've called in, and that'll put you in the host queue, and we can call on you, and then you can make a comment and then listen afterward. So thanks for having me, Joseph.
You're welcome, Harold. We also have a flash chat if you'd like to make comments during the show. If you don't feel comfortable speaking out over the airways, that's understandable. So if you'd like to make comments, there's a chat available also. I'd like to start. The phone number is 949-534-0621. Again, 949-534-0621. I'd like to start a little different change-up. One of the first assignments I give to my sponsees early on is that they call a different man every day. Men with men and women with women, if at all possible. The key is to work the steps. The rest of it it's all suggested. But we find that it works the best men with women, because sponsorship and sponsee is a very intimate relationship. that could be easily misconstrued at critical times early on in sobriety. And one of the first tasks I give my sponsees is that I ask them to call a different fella every day for the next 30 days and ask their permission to read the third step prayer to them. The reason I do that, and I always give them the rationale, because we're adults and I think it's important to know where we're going if we're going to get there, where our destination is. First is to pick up that 500-pound telephone and ask for help. It's easier sometimes to give help than to ask for help. To pick up that 500-pound telephone and ask for help. Two, to introduce himself to his home group and the fellowship that he'll be joining in sobriety, the WE program, the individuals that are connected up with part of that WE is his home group, the fellowship, his sponsor, and God. That makes up the WE. So he's connecting up with his fellowship. Three, it encapsulates what we're going to try to accomplish by working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And four, the fellow that he might be calling might be thinking of taking his first drink of alcohol. And in my experience with that phone call, chances are he will not. And it also gets the sponsee into service. So here's the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I might better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Can I get an amen on that, Harold?
Amen. That's a wonderful prayer. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. Tonight we're going to be continuing on in the section in rumradio.org. Was written by Michael M. out of the Chicago area. It's listed as the 24. That's 12 steps in 24 hours. Dr. Bob times 5,000. And it speaks for itself. This is if you're going to take someone through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the repentance process, in 24 hours, which was a back-to-basics phenomenon. Now, this is how to do it. Remember, though, you can drag this out longer. You can make it a couple days. You can make it a week. You can make it 2 weeks. The suggestion is the sooner you get into the mix, the quicker the batter will rise. In other words, I think timely is just as important as thorough. So we'll start off with how to do that. A lot of people don't know. The way we work sponsorship in AA, the word sponsor is not in the big book. You sponsor the way your sponsor sponsored you. If you really wanted it bad enough, it didn't really matter what your sponsor did or didn't do. You got it. You went to the meetings. You stayed sober. Now it's your turn. You worked the steps. Okay? Now it's your turn to give back. Well, you wanted it so much, you don't really know what a sponsor does or doesn't do or whatever told you. So most folks prefer not to sponsor. They have a life now. They're not drinking. They're married. They have girlfriends. They're going to college. They've gotten back their life. To give back right now, and not sure what to do, how to do it, and you might have somebody else's life in your hands. Scary proposition. So, you know, I think 20% of the people are doing 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work, just like in the real world. And Rum Radio is to help you get off that couch, get in back, giving back to the program that got you a life. We go to AA not to make AA our life, but that we go to AA to get a life. But this is our way of giving back, is to sponsor. Okay, so an overview of Quit Drawing Gloom. You want to know how to really piss off people in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Tell them that you can take a person through the 12 steps in one day. they'll look at you like you just announced that you're running an adolescent sweatshop out of your basement. And why is that? How is that what worked magnificently for co-founders and hundreds who followed them is now viewed as heresy? Why has Alcoholics Anonymous developed such an aversion to simplicity? This is not to say that everyone entering AA ought to work the steps in a day, but everyone should undoubtedly know that they can. I have successfully taken at least a dozen people through the steps in less than 24 hours, and dozens more within a week or two. If assisting in the production of a one-day spiritual awakening is of interest to you, here is the simple design our basic text suggests. Let us assume that the prospect shows up at your home around 9 a.m. to begin the work. Using a fourth edition, which is the current edition now, having your prospect read the first full paragraph on page 26, the XXVI, in the doctor's opinion. This will explain the physical allergy. If they can identify with the phenomenon of craving, have them then read the last paragraph on 26, dealing the mental obsession. If they can identify being roped back to the first drink as a product of restlessness, irritability, and discontent, let them know that they have the data necessary to diagnose themselves alcoholic. Then have them turn to page 30 and read the first step direction in the second paragraph. If they are prepared to smash the delusion, then they are ready for step two. Harold?
This is wonderful. And for all you listening, all of this is written out very carefully and extremely legibly by Joseph. And it's on the website, rumradio.org. You can read along with us. There are several drop-down boxes across the top banner, and this is the drop-down box under 12 and 12. And see, Dr. Bob and Bill W. went out together and talked to people by the hundreds and by the thousands. Dr. Bob personally worked with and sponsored 5,000 people. So this information, this approach, we didn't make it up. Joseph didn't make it up. He is just quoting ideas that worked for the first 100 people that got sober and more. Dr. Bob has put this together as an approach, and we're giving it to you. We're returning. We're getting back to basics here. And so you don't have to wonder if this works. We know this works. It's tried and true. And all we need is a little bit of guts, a little bit of get off the couch and give this a try. For years, I've been encouraging people to work with the newcomer, work with others, call somebody, get on the phone, sponsor someone, find a sponsor, get a sponsee. All of this is designed to enhance that, to help that happen. People look at me like I'm from another planet when I talk this way. I've been to meetings in many different countries, many different states here in the United States, and something's been lost, I am sad to say, and I think this is what's been lost. That's why we're on the radio. That's why we're on the website. That's why we're putting this all together, is because something has been lost, and this is it. You can actually lead people through the steps in one day. You can do it. And so that's how you read from this page and that page. And now XXVI is not page 26. There is a page 26, but this is page XXVI. In the doctor's opinion, So let's
well, XXVI
let's
is 26, isn't it? Is that 10, 10, 5, and 1?
But that's Roman numeral XXVI, and there's a what are the other numbers called, the regular numbers? That's
alphanumeric.
So there's different. The listener shouldn't turn to page 26. He should turn to page XXVI.
Okay.
All right.
If you say so, Harold's my sponsor, so I have to agree with him.
Well, I've got a book right here.
Okay.
And there is a page 26, and that's not it.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
All right. Well, let's see. I wrote this, how to find the sponsee. Of course, we're going to jump back a little bit. How to find the sponsee. I wrote this. We can go to Skid Row. That we already know. And like Bob and Bill, we can go to the hospital. Now I hear tell they come in under their own steam. Washed, but not clean. Desperate for simple instruction. The next time this golden opportunity walks through the door, I will push and shove and help them find their seat so my own recovery becomes complete. Turning to page 12, about halfway through Bill's story, the first four paragraphs will demonstrate Bill's journey from a seeming resistance to God to the freedom that a mere willingness to believe was more than sufficient. Turning to page 47, we find our second step direction summed up in one short question. If the prospect can say that they believe or are willing to believe in the existence of a power greater than human power, that they are ready to make a decision. Let your prospect know that the third step is, in effect, a choice between steps 1 and 2. If the deadly cycle of alcoholism is where they'd like to continue living, they can go out and continue their research. If, on the other hand, a life of spirit is the path they wish to pursue, have them say the third step prayer aloud. Offer to them that saying this prayer each morning might be useful and lead them down to the last two lines on page 63 where the program of action begins. There is no reason more than an hour should have elapsed at this point. Harold?
That's beautiful. That's really, that's great. That gets right to the point. And that is the point. That's great. So on our imaginary day, we began at 9. Now it's 10 a.m. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. The big book also tells us that an alcoholic death or a spiritual solution are not easy alternatives. We're at an alternative. It is 10 a.m. and they have completed the preparation steps, which ought to have an effect, but an effect is not change. No changes have occurred to this point. Now that we understand the problem, have located the solution, and made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to God, we will take a look at the blockages that have been keeping us from accomplishing that task. Harold?
I love that word, blockages. And for years I've been on the spiritual path. And really, if we have the courage to look for the blockages, that is our responsibility. In the scriptures, it's called repentance. It's a willingness to admit where we've gotten off track, where we've self-sabotaged. If we will look at the blockages, that is our part. God does the removing if we really will look at and admit the blockages. Joseph?
The three frogs sitting on a log. One frog decided to jump off. How many frogs were left?
Three.
Why is that, Harold?
making a decision to jump off is not jumping off.
Thank you. First of all, steps 4 and 5 can be worked in one sitting as a single unit. This is very much in keeping with the work of our pioneers, many of whom were still shaking too much to hold a pencil, wherein the sponsor could write down the items while the prospect talked. The three components which comprise a proper four-step are clearly laid out in the last paragraph on page 64. Resentments. The last paragraph on page 67, fear. And the second full paragraph on page 69, harms. A comprehensive list of who we hate, who we've hurt, and what we're scared of is not a complicated list. Every person has this data available to him to be disclosed in short order. Owning these things may be frightening. It may be painful, but it's not complicated. If reluctance shows your pace, slows your pace, that is fine. But with the fearlessness demand in our literature for successful completion of this work, there is no one who needs more than 3 hours to define the patterns of what is blocking them from the love of their higher power. Harold?
Wow, what a powerful sentence. What if no one needs more than 3 hours to define the patterns of what is blocking them from the love of their higher power. That's fantastic. And, you know, at first my higher power was the group itself. And the group will, in fact, many times they told me, let us love you until you can love yourself. And it really is true. It's hard to imagine, but after some experience, I was able to really feel that the group meant it. The group was willing to love the people that came in and see them not as bad people, but as sick people needing healing. And that was so important. So important. I also learned that I could borrow the faith of individuals there in the group. I didn't have much, so I borrowed some. I borrowed another man's faith and became willing to be willing, and it really meant a lot. So let's continue on, Joseph.
Thank you, Harold. Step 4 is a stumbling block for most folks the way it's done today. It took me years to get through. I kept stalling. I did the AA two-step, 1, 2, and 3. I was told in a meeting one time that you could do the first 3 steps sitting at a traffic light, unless you lived in New York City. Because a New York minute is less than a second.
Ah.
So what they're saying is the first 3 steps are really just an agreement. Step 4 is where the rubber meets the road, where the work of the program starts, the writing. Now, the way Michael is outlining this, maybe if the guy can't even read, I had a lady one time, and my program is between 30 and 45 days. I go from the idea of Joe and Charlie McHugh, Joe McHugh. He did a book, The Steps We Took. He usually suggested 30 days, and that was an interim period. I find that to be very productive. I've never done this before, so this is new to me. I was trying to get Michael to, but he's out of pocket, so I'm doing the best I can with what I have. But this is very interesting. Now, you remember, you don't have to do this in 24 hours either. You can take a couple weeks if that's what you feel is more necessary with the particular sponsee. But my experience is that getting over that 4th and 5th step and getting into the sunlight of the spirit, what's blocking them, gives them a really good chance of long-term sobriety. They're doing this in Macomb, Michigan. On the website, I have a basic Macomb and Rush sponsor. They're taking it to the prisons, and they have 4 hours of alcohol, what alcohol does to the body, alcohol damage, and then 4 hours they take you through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. They take you through the 12 steps in 4 hours. And what they've, now that sounds pretty quick, you know, how, you know, people, a lot of folks in the program will not do that. But what they found is that the recidivism rate, people coming back, have gone from 70% to 15% once they've gone through that program.
Wow, that's really impressive. The fact that they've done the work to track the numbers and recidivism reduced from 70% to 15%, that's really impressive.
I sent it to the local in-group, and they took exception that I sent it to them. One lady wrote back and she said, "This isn't AA, don't send this stuff to us." Well, I got the information from the inner group in Macomb, Michigan. I added a little bit, I put a couple little thumbnails on it and a couple little, you know, cute little deals there to make it interesting and to flow, but nothing changed the verbiage, you know, little, you know, decision making for dummies, things like that, and just to make it a little cute. But the information was solid. I didn't change any of that. Why would I? And they took exception to the information. What do you think, Harold? Principles before personalities?
Oh gosh, don't confuse me with the facts. Is that what they're saying? I mean, you take the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous into one of the toughest settings you can imagine with repeat criminals, you get fantastic results, and some brain-numb individual says, don't tell me about this. I mean, oh, brother. When something like this happens.
Yeah, they did. It was coming from me, and they didn't want whatever I said. They already had made up their mind that I have nothing to offer. They've had a hard time with me for quite a while. They don't like, I've sent them stories and information, and they don't like the whole Rum Radio concept. They're really threatened by it. I don't know why, but they are. They just is, boss. They just is. All right, let's continue.
Well, the fact that we take the program of Alcoholics Anonymous into hospitals and institutions is wonderful, and they should be chomping at the bit, just hardly able to wait to hear good news about how effective the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is with the prison system, prison inmates, reducing recidivism. I mean, a couple years ago, my specialty was working with families and individuals who had just been released from prison, and it's incredible, the experiences here in southern Texas between Houston and the Gulf. I had one particular man who had served 15 years, and he was out about 2 months and messed up, went back. Another young man, 33 years old, he had been in 18 years. He was out about 5 months, robbed a bank, and went back. He knew how to go back, so he did that and went back. Three hots and a cot. Very attractive. But they just missed the point that addiction and alcoholism are usually at the root. And what's at the root of their alcoholism is selfishness and self-centeredness. That's really at the root. And the 12 steps work on that. And I think that is so important. And so little by little, we've gotten to where we've made the process very slow and painful. And I think this is a wonderful idea to get through it in one day. One day. Fantastic. So let's continue, Joseph.
Be sure to have the prospect read the last five lines on page 72 into action. To the end of the paragraph on page 73, that they may grasp the critical mistake of consciously omitting information from this process. If they feel confident that they have been entirely transparent, point them to the last paragraph on page 75, suggesting 60 minutes of gratitude and review. Figuring in lunch and bathroom break or two, we ought to be looking at approximately 3 o'clock. That's the part of the big book which is we take the big book down off the shelf and we see if that have we tried to make cement without sand or all the stones in place. We now turn the page and read the first paragraph of 76, where the prospect will be asked whether they are ready to be relieved of these liabilities and whether they believe that the higher power can accomplish this task. Step 6, assuming their response, and this is affirmative, we look to the next paragraph and find the 7th step prayer. The prospect declares his desire to be free of having his character defects, adds this prayer to the morning routine, and prepares to shift their focus from cleansing themselves to repairing relationships with their fellows. It would be safe to say at this point the clock has not passed 3:30. The third paragraph on page 76 will charge the prospect to make a conclusive list of the way in which they have harmed others, as the majority of this data is already available via their moral inventory. This should be a swift and simple process lasting no more than an hour. For the next half hour, alert your prospect to the 5 types of amends attended to in this book. The first paragraph on page 77, people we dislike. The final paragraph on page 77 onto page 78, people who have harmed us as well. The second full paragraph on page 78, financial amends. The last paragraph on page 78, criminal amends. And the third paragraph on page 83, except when to do so might injure them or others. Harold?
That's wonderful. There again, we have it. We've written down a bunch of stuff on step 4. Now that we're on step 8, we take the things that we've written on step 4 as a springboard and sit down and make a list of all the people we've harmed, reading the instructions from the big book, pages 76, 77, 78, and 83. It's right there. All we have to do is read it. It really helps to have someone go through it, walk through it with us. We're on a walk together through these things. We don't have to do it alone. We don't have to be overwhelmed about this. We can stay calm. Terrific. And this is someone who has already been through these processes, and they're not asking us to do anything that they haven't done. And as a result, when we lead others through it, we will not be asking anyone to do things that we have not already done. Okay, Joseph.
Thank you, Harold. Now, reading this in an hour and all the work is a little overwhelming. This is the instruction I gave to Michael M., who wrote this section. Last week when we did this, when we went over it, my name is Michael and I'm no angel. It was a bio of the fellow who wrote this, Michael M. Now, the title of this section is an overview of quick drying glue. And this is what this really amounts to, is exactly that. This is an overview. So I explained to Michael, I says, well, why don't we do it this way? Let's first introduce yourself and then tell them what you're going to tell them. This is it. This is the overview.
Yes.
And then we're going to go through each section one step at a time. And that's a whole section. It's going to be a whole program. So it starts off this way. I'm no angel named Michael, the bio. We're doing right now an overview of quick drying glue. In other words, this is an overview of what we're going to accomplish in the 24 hours. All the list after that is going to be the steps itself. Step one, a simple truth stands on its own. Step two, got hope. Step three, faith and the unlimited possibility. Step four, courage to look in the mirror without a disguise. Step five, shunning the lie, for integrity is my guide. Step six, willingness of a mustard seed. There you go. What we got? Step seven, thinking of you more than me, that's called humility. Step eight, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Now it's loving. Step nine, the full measure balances the scales of justice. Step ten, the perseverance, the ladder that falls the highest walls. Step 11, suffused by a presence one with the universe, spirituality, chapter and verse. Step 12, when we are in the service of others, are we not in the service of our God? And the last one I suggested was, to avoid the contempt of confusion, a curtain drop conclusion. Now tell them what you just told them. So this is how it's all set up. So don't be overwhelmed with this information at this point. Harold?
Yes, I see what you're saying. That's a great list. And does that appear under the same drop down that we're talking about?
Yes.
Because I'm let's see, 9 PM. We just said paragraph on page 83. So it's approximately 5 p.m. Is that where we are?
That's it.
Okay.
Now, what I just mentioned was the drop-down box itself, how it's broken down. On the later episodes of Rum Radio, we'll be going over each step in and of itself. So this is just a thumbnail. This is an overview of what we're going to tell you.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
So just we're going to tell you, this is an overview. So you don't have to go by this and go, oh, man, that's just way too much. So we're going to break it down. Step one, where, how, we're going to read it to you, lay it out. There it is. So if you want to, Rum Radio is in Word format. So you can cut and paste this to a Word document and print it out for reference at any time. There's no money being made, and this is free information for the asking, if not for the taking.
You bet. In fact, that's what I've done. Each time that we get on the radio, prior to that moment, I go to the website, open the drop-down box, click and drag over the material, press copy, go to my Word, blank Word page, paste it in, and then save it into a folder that I call Joseph's Rum Radio Info. And there we are. So that's what I'm reading from, actually.
Oh, good.
In case the web goes down, I have it on a Word page. And once in a while, there's a missing period or something, and I can put that in, save it. But this one looks very, very complete. Nothing to change.
I didn't write it, that's why.
Oh, I see. That's great. Well, it's so much great info. I'm not gonna quibble about a misspelling or a missing comma. This is great. Let's jump back in. It's
okay.
Approximately 5 p.m.
It is approximately 5 p.m. There was a poet that said one time, death was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Neruda. You ever hear of him? Death was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I wrote to that, too. It is approximately 5 p.m. Our prospect needs to make at least the first amend before moving into the maintenance and growth steps, and probably could use some dinner. A lot of people say that 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance steps. I like to think of them as the growth steps. The big book tells us that our sobriety is contingent upon the maintenance of a daily spiritual condition. But, of course, my argument is what maintains itself of itself. Nothing maintains itself of itself. It's either growing or declining. And if your spirituality is declining, your recovery and even your sobriety becomes tentative. We're expected to continue to grow spiritually. And with that growth, the way you can tell if you're growing spiritually is that you're growing in effectiveness.
I like to think of it as growing in usefulness.
Okay, well, it's time for dinner. We have them locate an amend or two that can be made over the next 2 or 3 hours. Our prospect agrees to return at 8 p.m. to complete their work. I think at this time it's good to remind people that Dr. Bob, after his first contact with Bill W., he offered Bill W. 15 minutes to talk to him. He was shaky from his last drunk. He was a chronic relapser, a religious man. He told Bill W., and he didn't really want to meet Bill. I think he did it as a favor to Henrietta Cyberling, because she was at Wits End, and Dr. Bob was sort of like her project. Dr. Bob was suffered from remorseful, incomprehensible. What is it, Harold?
Demoralization.
Yeah, and he was chronic, and there was nothing he could do. He told Bill W., I'll give you 15 minutes. He said, I've taken the cure. Back then, that meant belladonna, which is a poison. So he took the treatment. He had been prayed over. He had been to therapy. He said he'd been sliced and diced more than a Christmas turkey. What could you tell me in 15 minutes that's going to keep me sober? And Bill W. turned around, and his faithful words were, I'm not here to keep you sober. I'm here to keep me sober.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous. They spoke for 6 hours. Dr. Bob, like a good alcoholic, was not finished yet. With the goal line in sight, which many of us do, his thirst became overwhelming. He went out again and was drinking. And Bill W. came back, helped him titrate, gave him a beer or two. He had surgery, came in from a drunk. Had surgery. Bill gave him some beer to steady him down, and that was the last drink. 3 days later, and this is the point, he already had worked the 6 steps from the Oxford group and was around his town. He was a doctor, a proctologist, a surgeon. Had gone to his people in his town that he had, and it was very, humbling to do that. He went to the people and made his amends. And within 3 days of his last drink, he had worked the 6 steps, made his amends, and him and Bill W. called a nurse in town's hospital to find a prospect. Sales term was Bill D., Bill Duff, an attorney that they worked with, and Bill D. became the third member of Alcoholics Anonymous. So what we're reading here is not outside of the scope of practical application. This has already been done before. This isn't new.
Yes, we're getting back to basics here, and I love doing that. Whatever the program, I love getting back to basics.
We have them locate. Yeah, thank you, Harold. We have them locate an amend or two that can be made over the next 2 or 3 hours. Our prospect agrees to return at 8 p.m. to complete their work. So they're going out like Dr. Bob did, knocking on somebody's door and making a couple amends. And the big book says, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. That's the amends process. That's step 9. We will know a new freedom and a new happiness. We're going to be getting the 9-step promises will be coming through. So he's made a couple of amends. The promises are coming through. Upon their return, we will spend the next hour laying out for them 5 spiritual directives we must regularly employ to earn our daily reprieve and remain spiritually fit. First, we point out that page 84, it is made clear that our spiritual awakening has now taken place. We have entered the world of the spirit. Halfway through the second full paragraph on the page, we are given our 10-step direction. Spiritual directive number 1, where we are told to regularly by turning our selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear to both a higher power as well as another person, your sponsor. We then turn to page 86 for a second and third spiritual directive in the 11th step. Second paragraph on page 86, we are told to ask and answer 10 simple questions every evening before sleep. In the third paragraph on page 86, we are told to begin every morning with prayer and meditation, with this agreement to frame every day with God, as we are given our 4th spiritual directive in the last 3 lines on page 87, continuing on to 88, dictating that we must stay connected to God throughout the day by using our shorthand prayer, Thy will be done. Harold?
Yes, this is so exciting to hear it done in the way that it was originally done, and that original success. I'm enjoying this a lot. Let's plow through it.
Okay. Finally, we turn to Chapter 7, where we see the 5th and most important, I guess, part, the most important part of our five spiritual directives, carrying this message to the still sick and suffering. The chapter goes to great lengths in explaining how to properly carry the message. Most specifically, in the first paragraph on page 94, where we given our sponsorship directives detailing the six key points we need to share with someone we will have agreed to sponsor. Wow, they're going to get the guys ready to sponsor already.
There you go.
I could see some of the old timers in the meeting now. I like to think of it when we say old timers in the big book, and they talk about old timers, and an old timer had about 2 or 3 years. That was an old timer back then. Today, an old timer, I think, is anywhere between 20 and 30 years. Usually, it's usually agreed about 25 years is called an old timer. So they're right in a transitional stage. It was sufficiently far enough along from the beginning of this thing to have like a middle ground. And I believe what's happening is the middle ground is falling away, and we're going back to where we came from. I really believe that there's a strong push afoot to get back to a back-to-basics proposition the way it used to be. That was our most productive time. The stick rate at the time was between 70 and 90%. Now, we can't really tell you what it looks like now, but from what I hear, it's not good.
Well, the overall effectiveness rate of recovery, and that includes all the professionals in the field and treatment centers and AA groups, and kind of it's hard to get statistics these days about that, because it's a lot of professionals like to protect that information because it ain't so hot. It's about 25% effectiveness. 75% of people go back out. But I think that's because the professionals have gotten involved, and they've watered it down. They've candy coated it. You know, it's a pig with lipstick now, and it's kind of sad. But that's generally what people are told when they get started with recovery, that if you take any four people, three of them are going to go back out. Only one's going to really get it. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I understand that from working this, I got numbers from the GSO. They just seem to come my way for some reason. I think when you're in a process, it's a spiritual process. Things manifest themselves to your understanding. And one of the things I found out was in 1981, according to the General Service Organization, our GSO, now it's counting cats, and I agree with that. You know, it's hard to count the number of people in the room, since each club, each group is autonomous. So sometimes the numbers are askew at best. But in 1981, there was 2 million in the count in the rooms of AA. 2010, January 2010, 29 years later, any guess what that might be, Harold?
I think you and I have talked about it before, 2,100,000.
Correct. And the world population has grown by a full third since then. I know there's more alcoholics and drug addicts than there's ever been before, because there's more of us around. The war on drugs, more people die from alcohol overdose than any other drug or all the other drugs combined. So reason would tell you, you know, I'm a firm believer that not all logic is based in common sense, but all common sense is based in logic. And having said that, I believe that part of the problem, and of course it's counting cats again, there's several think the churches have taken up the 12 steps and have rewritten them and tell us we're not doing it correct anymore. I love that. That's my favorite. I tell people in my church, I says, if the 12 steps are not a gift from God, why have you adopted them? And if they are a gift from God, why do you feel compelled to change them? And, of course, now we have NA, OA, Gamblers Anonymous, Debtors Anonymous. There's even a Paranoid Anonymous. The only problem is nobody will tell you where they hold the meetings.
See, I heard of one called On and On Anonymous for preacher types who like to talk on and on and on.
Well, we're anonymous. I don't usually like to say I belong to that one, but I'm a charter member. I have so many words and so few thoughts.
There you go.
Finally, we turn to chapter 7, where we see the fifth and most important of our five spiritual directives, carrying the message to the still sick and suffering. The chapter goes to great lengths in explaining how to properly carry the message. Most specifically, in the first paragraph on page 94, where we're given our sponsorship directives dealing the six key points we need to share with someone we have agreed to sponsor. Finally, you might refer them to page 25, having them read the first two full paragraphs that they may see that the solution promised had become the reality of their existence. At 9 p.m., 12 hours since they began this work, they are recovered. They are free. They have entered the sunlight of the Spirit. For those who continue to, I can say only refer you to the quote located at the bottom of the second appendix, attending to the dangers of contempt prior to investigation. I would never deny anyone crossing the threshold into our rooms of recovery the opportunity to choose whatever path feels appropriate to meet their needs. But I will forever fight tooth and nail, claw and fang, I added that, to see that each one of them has the true message of Alcoholics Anonymous available to them as one of those choices. Harold?
Amen. That's quite a wonderful piece that Michael wrote, and I really appreciate him for doing that. We're winding down to the last 3 minutes of our program, and I think this is a great, great body of work. So you listeners, go to the website, rumradio.org, find all of this, copy it, paste it to a page yourself, refer back to it, and let's get back to basics. Joseph?
Yeah, one thing before we got a couple minutes, I'm going to read the surrender.
Yes.
This was the original started on the steps. The surrender was more than important. It was a must. Bob E. came into AA in February 1937. Recall that after 5 or 6 days in the hospital, when you had indicated that you were serious, they told you to get down on your knees by the bed and say a prayer to God, admitting you were powerless over alcohol and your life was unmanageable. Furthermore, you had to state that you believed in a higher power who would return you to sanity. There you can see the beginning of the 12 steps. He said, we call that the surrender. They, Dr. Bob and the original AA members, demanded it. You couldn't go to a meeting until you did it. If by accident you didn't make it to the hospital, you had to make it at the upstairs bedroom over at the Oxford Group AA meeting or at the Williams House. After the surrender, many of the steps involving inventory, admission of character defects, and making restitution were taken within a matter of days. Harold?
That's the name of the game. That's what we need to do. And I remember years ago, I'm coming up on, well, I've got over 24 years, and I remember years ago reading that they did steps 4, 5, 6, and 7 all at one time in an upper room.
Right. And I got a lot of about 15 seconds. I'd like to shut down with see you on the radio, rumradio.org. And tune in again next Sunday night for live. Thanks, Harold.
Bye, everybody.